You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Usually on a Monday, I speak to David Shapiro, and the name of the feature is Shapiro World. But because I took the day off yesterday, lazy slacker that I am, we're going to do it today. David Shapiro is from SaaSfin, and this podcast is proudly brought to you by sharenet.co.za. David, lots of stuff going on. I think we have to start with politics, don't you? Because apparently this evening, the cabinet is going to be announced. And the one thing I worry about is that you can reshuffle as much as you like, but it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Because
if there's not the talent out there, then how can we possibly get a representative cabinet that is properly going to serve the people of the Republic of South Africa? I don't think the talent is there.
I don't know if there are going to be any new faces. I think everybody had positioned themselves for something fresh and new. And the fact that it's been delayed, and I'm not sure, you know, you say it's coming out now. There's a lot of talk that it might be delayed to the weekend, but there could have been posturing because the news that has rocked the Rand and the Rand's at 1462 has been that David Mabuza, who's a controversial character at best, is fit and clear to take up a position in cabinet. And, you know, he was deputy president. So I think that's created a lot of worries within circles that perhaps he hasn't, you know, Ramaphosa hasn't really got the power that everybody thought he would have to make the necessary reforms. And then you've got the Communist Party that has to be pleased, and you've got the trade unions and all the other factions as well. So I agree with you that the market at least is saying to you, this is not going to happen.
They call him David the Cat Mabuza, and that's because he's probably got nine lives. And I've been trying to glean from people exactly what the problem was with him, and there are all sorts of allegations of political opponents mysteriously disappearing, which were probably scurrilous rumours, probably false, probably mischievous. But on the other hand, he is tainted with corruption and fraud, I think, or allegations of the latter.
Exactly. They haven't attempted to, or certainly haven't disclosed to their to the public and to onlookers, you know, what the allegations are, how far they've gone to clear his name. And so I think, it's a worry. I think there was a lot, perhaps too much optimism that we were going to see dramatic change with his election. And I think as we slowly realize, or as the market realizes that it's going to take some time, I think it's going to deflate tires, or certainly let the helium out of those tires, and that's what's happening at the moment. Lindsay, I think you know, just going ahead, and I mean, we can talk about this. Is that if you look at the market today, it's up, and there's a belief when commentators or when the media report that the market managed to hold steady, that discloses or masks what's really happening. And I think underneath the kind of index movements that we're seeing, there's been a massive sell-off in SA Inc. stocks, and particularly in smaller and medium caps, and losing a lot of value, and really shaking investors.
I saw a tweet from our friend Wayne McCurry earlier on. He said that South African-linked stocks are down 3%, but that's been made up for by Rand hedge stocks because of the weakness in the Rand that you alluded to earlier on. And quite honestly, Rand hedge stocks are one thing, but domestic stocks are another. And Wayne keeps on talking about showing good value and being undervalued. And yes, by traditional metrics, they are very much so. But on the other hand, when I see things like Tiger Brands, when I see stories rather like Tiger Brands saying that 80% of the goods that they sell are sold on promotion, 20% are you just go in and you pick something off the shelf and you don't worry about the price. But people are very discerning in South Africa. South Africans are some of the best shoppers in the world, from what I understand from retail analysts that I've spoken to. 80% are on promotion. And then when you have a look at the much-vaunted Capitec funeral plan policy, there are 70% of them are in default after maybe three to 6 months. Yeah. And that tells you something. There is something rotten, and maybe we've seen the worst, but there's something going on.
No, in fact, I don't think we have seen the worst. What happens is it's like a resistant line. You know, you hold off and you hold off in your trench as long as you can, and eventually there's a slight break and everything breaks up. And I think that's what's happening to our market. I think for far too long we have been overvalued, and investors have been a little too analysts have been a little too optimistic and still rating companies at very high multiples. What's happening now is those multiples are being tested. And in fact, markets always overshoot. They never stop in the middle. The pendulum goes from overvalued to undervalued, whatever. So I think before we see what Wayne deems to be value, I think we're going to go into a period of gross undervaluation. But that could be very punishing on the market. And I wouldn't, you know, you must let it run, investors must let it run its course. Don't try and catch it before it's actually fallen. And Lindsay, over the last week or so, 2 weeks, we've seen massive, and we've been let down, and there's reason for this. We've seen MassSmart, Brait, Netcare, Sasol, Blue Label, you name it, Sappi, which was one of the big hot stocks of last year and the year before, also completely sold down. Coronation, you name them, and so we go to a number of companies that have just been, you set Tigers, you know, Mr. Price and so on. The property stocks also totally destroyed.
But David, maybe they're being destroyed by foreign sellers, and maybe the discerning buyers are people like Wayne and other local fund managers, and they're stocking up as people just throw in the towel. Because let's face it, the overseas investor is interested in South Africa, but it's a tiny part of their emerging market portfolio. Yep. So they'll just phone up the broker or press the sell button and sell in an indiscriminate manner, if you see what I mean. Yep. And the other people just that rely on South African stocks, and they pick their levels. Maybe this is the final throwing in of the towel during the month of May. And when the overseas markets are quiet, maybe we can start picking up some bargains. I think we should have a debate with Wayne McCurry. Are you up for that?
I think you're a little too, you're a bit too optimistic for me. You know, I think
no one's ever accused me of being optimistic. Trust me.
I think so. I'm a little more cautious than you are, and I think that the underlying economy is a lot tougher than we think it is. Now, there are two things, Lindsay. The one is that it's very easy. I'm very brave with other people's money. You know, I can take big risks. With my own money, I'm a lot more cautious. And so from that point of view, I keep asking myself, you know, would I commit myself to the market? And my answer is no, not yet. You know, I'd be patient. I want to see it run its course.
So what are you, in cash then? Is that what you're saying? You're in cash?
In local portfolios, yes. You know, where we're forced to be here, where we have a big proportion of cash that we sold down for some time ago. And I haven't been, I still think it's a bit too early to make the plunge into so-called value stocks. And I just look, I'm not a great chartist in the sense of making it a profession, but when the falls are perpendicular, then you've got to say, hold on, that's not a bottom. Bottoms, you know, I prefer what you could call a saucer bottom. In other, you know, it forms like a saucer.
Yes, I
and
know
that's,
what you mean.
That's a proper bottom.
You that's know, when people are accumulating, in other words. The big selling is gone, and there are some people that say there's more to go, but there's a wall of buying. And as you say, it creates that saucer, and then it starts to build. But it's a slow process, David. It's not going to be a V-shaped recovery like we saw
or
in the S&P 500.
No, it's not going to be like that. And that's when you feel more comfortable buying. And I think we're some time away from it. I think we spoke last week, or Lesetja Kakanyago in the Reserve Bank, you know, when he kept rates unchanged, he did mention that the next move is probably going to be down. He lowered the growth rate here to 1%. Now, two meetings ago, that was at 1.8.
Yeah.
So he's almost half growth, and you say, hold on. What is he seeing that we're not seeing? Yes, he blamed it on a gold mine strike. He blamed it on other factors such as the, you know, Eskom power. But I think there are big, big challenges ahead here that are going to take their toll on this market before we actually see that value turn around. So be patient. You know, I don't think there's a need for us to rush in. A couple of things that have kept us booming or kept us bubbling over has been the iron ore price, you know, which is over 100 now, 104, 105. And that's had a big impact on the miners. It's Anglos and Billiton are big into iron ore, Kumba, Assore, even Exxaro through its session, you know, through Kumba has got exposure there. And those are the ones that hold it. And today, I don't know whether you picked up a few minutes ago, Sabania have shareholders have approved the Lonmin deal.
Yes, after so all these months.
Big gain in both of those today, up almost 8-9%, I think, in either of them. I haven't checked the latest prices and that. So there are little things like that are just keeping us going. And platinum shares, for reasons I cannot fathom, also very strong at the moment, because platinum price is back at 800. The Rand's weak, admittedly, but platinum has fallen all the way back there. But still, there are a couple of factors like that that have kept us, you know, okay.
Sasol 371 was in the mid-350s this morning, so that's up over 4%. Sibanye up nearly 9% at 12.25 as we pre-record this interview. But on the other hand, you've got to say from where it's come, it's 15, 16 Rand 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a short squeeze, I think, there. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But yes, David, you make some very good points. So what are you doing? With your own money, you're doing absolutely nothing. With your clients' money, you've got to expose them to risk because that's what they want and that's what your job is. Where would you go if I gave you a couple of million now, which I don't have, by the way?
Certainly not here. You know, I still remain very, very cautious about the South African market. A couple of companies have come out okay. Richemont's results were reasonable. Bitcore had very good numbers. And we've seen some smaller caps like Transaction Capital, Altron doing fairly well. And Telkom's numbers came out. I'm a bit cautious about Telkom. I see they're down about 5%. I tried to read them yesterday, Lindsay, and I promise you, I honestly try to read them. I say, okay, I've got a half an hour to an hour or three-quarters of an hour. And unfortunately, if you haven't got a history on the accounts, in other words, if you haven't built a history on that, it's very difficult because so many of the numbers that came out were adjustments to previous numbers. What shook me a little bit was that their cash earnings were down, and I couldn't reconcile the cash earnings with the numbers they disclosed, and debt was up. So I think that the market might have been a bit ahead. You know, a lot of journalists eager to get out a column for the newspapers just take what has come out and make those headlines. But I think, even though I like the chart there, I think that they're a bit overstated. And could come down from where they are, but apart from that, Billiton's holding up on the iron ore price. If you talk to Wayne, Wayne's very cautious about cycles and worries that Vale, the Brazilian producer, will come on stream one day, and so the price, supply will increase and the price will come down. So there are vulnerabilities even in that, but it's not an easy market. I still feel that if we're going to go anywhere, it's going to be in foreign markets. I still feel much more comfortable with those, despite what we're going through at the moment, which is a wall of worry.
There's two things I want to mention. There's three things we have to conclude this conversation on. The first thing is, and I don't want you to expand upon it, was the appalling murder of those two young people on the N12 near Benoni. I don't want to talk about that. I found it very distressing and depressing, and then it made me angry. It made me physically sick, first of all. After that, I became angry, and then I became depressed. We don't need to talk about that. But linked to that, I think, is the tourism numbers. People visiting South Africa from outside of South Africa fell 6.3% year-on-year. That is a national disgrace, because this could be the jewel in our economic crown. And people should be visiting South Africa in their droves. I mean, I've recently been to a European country, and there's a bunch of cliffs there, and people walking along the cliffs, and they were but there were thousands of people. There were Japanese, there were Italians, there were French, there were Dutch. They were walking along this place, and we've got such great natural resources, and yet our incoming visitors are down 6.3%. Please get a new tourism minister.
Comment
on that, please.
Very briefly, I think people are not fooled by the safety factor here. And there are so many crimes that don't go reported. One of our analysts in traffic on Jansmuts Avenue in Craighall was going home one evening, and people and chaps with guns just walk up there and rob them. Mm. You know, literally rob them in front of everybody. That's how brazen it is. Those are crimes that are never reported. Right. You know, people don't talk about that. And you're in danger. They're holding guns at your head and forcing in mid-traffic, in the middle of, it's getting dark and that. So those are the kind of stories that circulate. And that's where we need to clean up dramatically. the police are a non-force here. You know, there's nothing they can do. Maybe they're short of numbers. I'm not going to comment, but there's no, you know, there are no enforcers. So yeah, it is a big factor. And then you've got other issues as well. And we're a far destination, but we're not making it attractive for them to come.
No, we're not. Finally, it's made it very attractive for Aston Villa to be in the Premiership because apparently the payday from yesterday's match is £170 million. Yeah. And if you multiply that by 18.4, you can work out how much that is in rands. That's more than the market cap of many companies on the JSE Securities Exchange. The other thing is,
I like Aston Villa.
Do you?
I'm glad they're back. Yeah, I've always been a big fan of theirs. Ah. And I think with Arsenal, they were one of the teams that had been there forever.
You and Prince William.
I was really sad to see them go. Yeah, I'm really worried to see them go. But I'm glad that they're back. For Frank Lampard, though, I think that's great, you know, that he got Derby into those levels and that. Mm. I've always liked him. I think he's been a superb gentleman and a wonderful player. And for him, I'm a little sorry. The other story was the one was the Sunderland story. I just feel for those chaps going into first of
the fourth minute of injury time, Charlton score. I mean, such a big club, and Charlton such a small little South London club, which I'm very fond of, by the way. I used to go there quite often, but anyway.
I know.
It's a lovely club.
Athletic. Charlie Hurley used to. That was my coach at Wits.
Yeah.
And he played for South Africa, Charlie Hurley. He always used to tell us to couple off in threes, boys.
Final football point is that there's a chap called Ernesto Valverde who's been coaching Barcelona for 2 years. Go on, they've won La Liga. They won the double last year in Spain. They won La Liga. They were okay. They were stupid to lose to Liverpool in the UEFA Champions League. They weren't unlucky, but they were below par in the Copa del Rey, the Spanish Cup on Saturday. They've sacked him, but he's won the league twice in a row, and they sack him. They're brutal in Spain.
He won it despite him. I think Barcelona were awful this year.
They were in the last. Please don't tell me about Barcelona. I know a bit more about you than you do. But anyway, yeah, it's a cutthroat game in Spain. David, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time this evening. That was David Shapiro, and that was Shapiro World. Thank you. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.